It is the 12th day of September in the year 2020 from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for coming to my website today and checking in with me. How am I doing? I'm doing all right. I'm just beginning to see the light. You know, just the light comes on more and more. And what is it that God wants me to say and do? I'm glad that you're listening in. I hope that this Saturday finds you doing your best. That's all that we can ask, right? Yeah, listen. To see the light, yeah. Yeah, I'm beginning to see the light. Thank you for coming to my website. This is PJ. It's been a number of days since I've been talking to you because I've been listening to the news, checking out everything, seeing the gyration of our system going down, 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 down. Come on, we've got to open up those restaurants, don't we? On the news last night, they said that we've already lost about 40% of the restaurants. People are going out of business, going broke, can't pay the rent, can't pay their employees. The good life in the United States of America seems to have eroded, faded, disappeared, went away. How are you guys doing? That's why I thought that I'd wait a few days and come on. Listen, I cannot admonish you stronger than this. Find my Facebook page. It's just under John Coleman. You see a picture of me with glasses on. You won't be able to miss it. Find that and then go and look at the interview that Zerik Zremer did with myself and Dr. Harley Howard. I think you find it. My goodness, I went to my Facebook page this morning and I saw that more and more They got almost 500 people viewed that series. Whoa! And I'm so glad that a lot of you can just come right over here to my website and see how I'm doing. I'm beginning to see the light. If you listened to the last webcast, you might have said, you know, I think John has lost his mind. I haven't lost my mind. No, I haven't. Why am I losing my mind when I say things that are rational, but it just goes against the irrationality of your mind? Now, let me address some issues that is confronting our nation today. And I don't think that I've ever done a webcast about this, but I'm feeling God today. I'm feeling God. And I didn't want to do this webcast until I really felt that I had the freedom and the sensitivity in which to not only philosophically, but spiritually talk about these issues. First of all, I want to thank Jehovah God in heaven for keeping me alive after that open heart surgery in March of 2018, because I thought that I was ready to go and meet my maker. And he says, no, you just better keep on being that shaker and shaking them up and saying what needs to be said, because people need to ideally come into the mind of God. We need to listen to what God is saying about things, and we need to pay attention to his agenda. Now, let me address this. White privilege. I think I'll get to that first. If you are white, you unconsciously, without any thought or inhibitions, you incur that upon yourself. You don't go anywhere in this country feeling like, well, can I go in there, unless you're in the middle of a dark spot in Philadelphia, Harlem, Watts, or somewhere, and get lost on the main traffic outlets. But if you are not, if you can go to a museum, a restaurant, and if you're white, you feel a sense of privilege. Just like when I was black, I would never, as a young man, drive my little Corvair up into one of those fancy five-star restaurants and ask the guy to park my car and so that I can go in there and spend $200 or $300 on two steak dinners. No. No, I just go by McDonald's, and we go and eat there. But it's different when you're white. You just automatically can do that. I have a very dear friend of mine. He did radio with me for years and years and years. And he escorted me as his guest into certain restaurants that he knew. Bob knew that if I did not go to those restaurants with him, that I would never venture in there. I'd never go. I had no desire to go. I had no desire to go in restaurants where the help would stare at you with this look on their face. And I've experienced it when I've gone into these restaurants with my friend Bob Klink. They're looking at me like, what are you doing here? Now, Bob didn't see it because Bob is white. But if you're black, you see it, you feel it, you know it, it takes place, it's right there. It's called white privilege, looking at you, and the person is saying, you don't belong here. Oh, you came in with a white man, so, oh, you must be somewhat safe. I recall one day, Bob said, let's go to dinner on a Friday evening. And I said, where are we going? And Bob just started driving south on the 405 freeway. Man, we got out into the beach cities and everything, and he drove up into this place and went down this private street. I didn't know where he was going. I said, man, I thought that we were going, we left the beach things. I thought that you were going to take me to it. He said, nope, you just shut up. And if Bob listens to this, he'll enjoy this. But he said, no, just shut up. You're going to ride with me. And next thing I know, he said, Colby and his family eats here often. And he may be here tonight. I said, Kobe who? And he said, Kobe Bryant. I said, man, you got me way out here where Kobe lives? And if you remember in February when the helicopter took off, where he took off from, you know, flying in to Calabasas or wherever, he had his thing there. But you know what? All that's gone. Kobe's gone. His dream of his basketball thing is gone. All that kind of stuff. Now, his children and his wife are going to live on and on and on, but Kobe's gone. You can cry all you want to. You can ask questions all you want to. And I'm not speaking about Kobe. I think he was one of the great. He was, in my estimate, the greatest African-American basketball player that I have ever seen play the game in my life. And his study habits were the same kind of study habits that I had when I prepared, when I was going to prepare a sermon. Oh, man, I'm just jumping all over the place. I got a lot of ideas in my head, and I got to get these ideas out because I feel that, you know, God is pushing these ideas out of my head. I remember when I had some of the students from the Master's College come and spend a week with me in my home, I took upon myself to have two young white boys. They were the son of pastors, and they wanted to be pastors, and their summer school assignment was to either go to Mexico and build adobe huts for the poor people. But I challenged their pastor, John MacArthur, to let a group of the students come and to live with the people that I pastor in South Central Los Angeles in the church that I pastored. And sure enough, I got two white boys to stay. I was thinking about it yesterday because I was in my bedroom sleeping. I remember when we had the patio room, Lucy and I had our bedroom down there, and then we had was really the master bedroom, which the two boys slept in. I had a fold-out couch bed, I think I had, and they shared that, and the bathroom was right next to it, and right next to them is I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio now. Well, that's where my daughter stayed, and so it was my family, and I, and these two white boys, all right? And after a week of spending time with me in my study, seeing how I prepare sermons, seeing how I did Bible studies, because everywhere I had to go as a pastor, they had to travel with me. That was their assignment. And they had to write a paper, of course. And you guys should have seen it. It was a Sunday. Well, let me say this. All of the students didn't last. There was one young white girl, bless her heart, she couldn't take it. She was staying with Don and Tammy, and they were staying right on the other side of Crenshaw on one of the avenues. And she came by my home one night in her little red Jeep, I think it was, and she said, I got to drive back out to Panorama City. I can't take it, Pastor John. I said, what happened? Did anything wrong happen in the apartment? What happened? And she said, no. They were kind and everything, but the helicopter kept going by. And I said, well, yeah, that's a crime-ridden area over there. Just stay in the house. And I said, I'm sure they gave you instructions if there was any gunfire just to get down. And this was about 8-9 blocks from where I'm staying now. And she said, what? I said, yes, they had instructions. Well, they told me that, but I thought that they were kidding. She couldn't take it. She drove all the way back to Panorama City. I guess she would be willing to go to Mexico and build adobe huts than to stay in the house with some brothers. And I was telling these students, I think altogether there was about 10 or 12 of them that came out that summer. And I remember speaking to them at the church because they all met at the church, parked their cars on the lot. We locked their cars there. And I remember one of the assignments is that we were going to walk down Central Avenue, starting at Jefferson, going up one side of the street, buying drinks of water and things like that in different shops in the neighborhood. And I was making them acquainted with the neighborhood. I even took them down, passed by Reverend Gully's church, went on down and took them down there on Hoover Street to the church that my pastor came out of, and took them by that, and then brought them back to the church house. They were exhausted. And they said, oh, my God. I said, what? He said, hey, you mean to tell me you walk down these streets and you don't feel fear? And all that. I said, why should I feel fear when God said that he has not given me the spirit of fear or timidity, but rather he has given me the spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. You see, and these were students of the Master's Seminary, or the Master's College, one of them. And they were feeling a sense of fear in the black community. That's white privilege, because they were white, because in my own community, and I never experienced that sense of fear, because I'm a black man that was raised on the West Coast. I wasn't raised in the South. I was not raised in the South. Nina Simone had a wonderful song called Mississippi GD. You know what that stood for. And she just put it out there. She said, that is the worst state in the state of the Union to be in when it comes to that kind of bigotry. I just recently saw a film on YouTube that was put together on the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And when the portion of the movie came on, when they were asking the question of Stokely Carmichael, did he believe in the same kind of propensity that Dr. King believed in? Dr. King, they say, follow Mahatma Gandhi with his nonviolent approach. Well, I like the nonviolent approach, but I'd like to put in front of it, and King did. He did in many of his speeches, but unfortunately, the news media doesn't show you these particular speeches. But love was the catalyst for Martin Luther King's mission. Love. It was pure love. And he believed that when something was done to you, that if you look back at the agents of hatefulness, in this sense here, white privilege, because white privilege is hatefulness. When you look at other people and feel that because of who you are, because your family was, because of how much money you have, because of the control that your population has had, that in some kind of way, as a human being, just like us, you have the same kind of body, the same kind of body parts. Well, maybe a little different, because I believe that African Americans are put together very tight, very tight. It's the melanin that protects the black man from a lot of things that we're confronted with. But the thing that has killed many a black man are the foods that are shipped into our communities, which are quite different from the foods that are shipped into the white community where whites live. You can just go to the supermarkets and take a deep breath and you can smell it in the air. I live, they got Ralph's Market in the Ladera Heights area, and Ralph's Market on Crenshaw and Slauson. You can just check the maps and you can see. Now, which one do you think I go to when I want fresh produce? I go to the one in Ladera Heights. It's supposed to be the same thing, but the foods are a little different. When you go deeper in to the inner cities and you go into the meat facilities, and this is why I try to admonish many African Americans to do as I've done. I've cut down immensely on my intake of meats. Oh, don't get me wrong. I have plant-based food here and things like that because I love the taste of it. I said, but it is not good for our systems. Once you see this virus tearing into the physical bodies of African Americans and destroying us as a people, it's because of the foods that we eat. If we do not care for our bodies as we care for driving nice cars, living in nice homes and things like that, and wearing the baddest rags, meaning clothes, that anybody's ever wore. I just love the styles that come out of our community. That's being unapologetically black. I love it. And I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, since I put my flag up in my window, my unapologetically black flag, right across the street in the old Villa Hermosa house, they have a Black Lives Matter flag up. So I'm raising a certain consciousness, consciously, about what I'm doing. Because I think that even at 76, that I have an obligation to these beautiful young black people that's coming up after me to have confidence and love with themselves. So I said to the group, I said, why should I fear walking down Central Avenue in my own community? Now, you walk down that same street now, it's not as much black as it is Hispanics, because Hispanics have become the workforce of the city, the welfare keepers of the city. It angers me sometimes when I hear people like the president talk about they call us these refugee cities where we take care of people that don't have anything. That's a wonderful testimony. I believe that God blesses that before he blesses a hypocrite that leaves the White House with the Bible in his hand and stands in front of a church and has a Bible on his chest, and that man don't even know what the word means. That's just as bad as these black pimp butt preachers doing the same thing to black people in the community. Disgusting. You see, hypocrisy from whichever side of the railroad tracks is still hypocrisy. It could be from your president. He's not mine. No man that ever served in that White House has ever been my president. Don't get it twisted. I love to see Barack in there because he was most stylish, and his wife was fantastically beautiful. Stylish people in the White House. It's about time, because all the other people was in there was fading away. And Barack and Michelle are still looking good. I disagree with your politics. I'm not going to lie to you. I have a right to disagree with anybody that I want to, don't I? Just like you do, right? Oh, my friends, listen, don't fear. During this time of pandemia, can I call it that? Pandemia. During this time of pandemia, we are not to fear. This is what God said. This is what God said. He said this in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. He says, never will I leave you. Listen, listen, people of God. God said, never will I leave you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You being displaced and putting you out of the apartment? God said, listen to me. Listen to PJ. God said, never will I leave you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then he says, never will I forsake you. Yeah, but I ain't got no money and I can't buy no food for my kids. Stop it. God said, never will I forsake you. Now, let me throw this in. God has never lied since he's been in existence, and he never had a beginning. All right, I'm going to really blow your mind. The God that I believe in never had a beginning. He cannot lie. It is impossible for him to ever fail. Now, let's go back to this. You scared because there's a virus out there. I'm scared, too. I don't want no mess to be getting in my chest and mess up my breathing, and I'm coughing, and wait a minute. And I'll put the mask on. You only have to tell me once. Do I look like a fool to you? Hell to the no, no. I'm going to put my mask on, but my mask is going to be Afrocentric in nature. I had one specially designed by two brothers that's in the life. I love that mask. I'm unapologetically black. I'm going to get out my house, and I'm going to drive in my car. Now I got to wash all the ashes off the car because Northern California didn't burn down, and man, man, look at here. I heard that the fire came back and went through a town that got burned up 2 years ago and re-burned everything up. You know what? I'm going to tell you something, but look what God said. You scared, right? You frightened. Never will I leave you. This is God speaking to the children that he loves. Never will I leave you. Now, this is in my Bible. And so God is speaking to me because I know he loves me and I love him. Do you love God? If you love God, God will answer back to you and said, never will I leave you. Yeah, but Pastor John, I'm being kicked out of my apartment. Wait a minute. God says, never will I forsake you. And you can see that reiterated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6. Okay, now look what the writer says. So we say with confidence, since God has given those two beautiful attributic clarion rewards about his character, we say The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's all in that same verses. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Now, here's where the key comes in, because you can read those verses and, oh, John, I'm still getting kicked out. I still ain't got no money. I'm waiting on my rebate check. I'm waiting on my county check. I'm waiting for my EBT to come in. Wait a minute. Hey, how much time have you spent in your life as a child of God? All right? And I'm speaking to a lot of my Hispanic and African American and third world Asian. I'm not talking to the white privilege, because y'all got the money, y'all got the jobs, and y'all got all that. I'm speaking to the people that are down and out. And if some of you are white and are down and out like that too, well, then you possibly know the God that I'm talking about. Because when you got a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of income and a whole bunch of property, you're not thinking about reading no Bible. You're not thinking about ascribing to no God, because in your own crazy, freaked out way, you've made yourself to be God. That's why a lot of white people try to make Jesus look like them. Now, I said it, and I say it again, and I'm not afraid to say it. Jesus ain't never had no blue eyes or no blonde hair. He didn't come from the Mediterranean. He didn't come from Europe. No, he didn't. And I wish we'd stop with this foolishness going around here putting these pictures on our church windows and on our doors and all that stuff. You go on the internet and type in Jesus and this crazy looking person with blonde hair and blue eyes, and then he got a silver ring hanging over his head. I'm going to tell you, in my life have I never worshiped and ascribed in my mind to a figure of such ridiculousness. And until black people get that image out of their heads, they will never be free. And this is what religion does to you. Listen, I was a pastor for all those years, and I'm still pastoring right now because I'm giving you the verse that can help you during this pandemic. God said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, but I ain't God. It's not about having. Wait a minute. Y'all want to know something? Check it out. I have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the things that I do have is because God has let somebody come in my studio and tweak my equipment, and so that I can do my webcast and keep my heart strong, because that's the only thing that keeps me alive. If I were not doing this, I would be laying outside in the dirt dying. There would be no reason for me to live. Now, I want you to give me one reason why God would leave you alive, and what it is that you plan to do for the praise of his glory. Because if you can tell me one thing that God has left you to do for the praise of his glory, then you worship the same God that I worship, and you don't have to go to no church. You don't have to follow no man-made dogma. You don't have to create in your mind an image that is false, that is of oblivion. Now, when I think of the religion that was placed upon my parents, my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, that was a religion of Christianity that was brought from Europe and here to this country. I call it the cross and the switchblade, because they had a cross and then they had some guns and some knives, and they stole everything that the indigenous people had and then put a cross over their head. And even unto this day, you can tell how messed up we are, because don't nobody want to go to hell and everybody want to go to heaven, and you already living in hell. It has been like that since we've been here. All right, let me get back to why I believe that God speaks to me. You see, I'm not concerned about speaking a language that will make a group of individuals happy. I'm trying to help those of us that belong to God to get through this pandemic and keep our minds intact, not to lose our sense of consciousness of who we are, why we are, and where we are, because that's very easy to do that. It's very easy for us during a pandemic like this to feel like we're clustered in on all sides, the walls are caving in on us, things, and God is still alive. God is still alive. God says, what did he say? Wait a minute, I can't get away from this. Never will I leave you. I remember one night I was recovering from my open heart surgery, and I couldn't lay on my side, and I couldn't lay on my stomach. All I could do was lay on my back, and I had to be set up like I was in a chair because I couldn't lie down flat. And I would try to lie down flat, and every time I'd scoop down, I'd have shortness of breath and my chest started hurting. And I remember I woke up and I was in pain and I was crying. And I said, if you are here with me, because I remembered this verse. Just hear me out. I said, if you are here with me, then allow me to sleep in the position that I'm in now. I don't remember anything after I said that. He was there with me, and he answered my prayer while I yet called on him. I cannot explain that, but I know that I belong to him. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You don't have to belong to a church to think like that. You don't have to be a part of a religious organization to think like that. I'm talking about the God that made this beautiful universe that we live in. I know it seems almost improbable, but he cares for you because we as humans are unique creatures. We have the ability to rationalize a God. Don't listen to the atheist. The atheist works against God. I don't know who their arbiter is. But an atheist, a person, I don't know, maybe something happened in their lives and maybe they don't, maybe their mother made them go to church and made them take the communion. I don't know. But and if that stuff happened to you, I can tell you this right now. I told my daughters, I said, I would hope that you would want to go to church with your mom and I. But I said, about this communion stuff, please don't take that unless you believe in that. Because your daddy and mama can't believe for you. And I told both of my daughters, I want you to believe in God for yourself. And it's not about getting baptized in front of these Baptist folk in this building, because I don't know where in the hell half of these people are coming from. So you see, I've always been that kind of a person to express, even to my own offspring, do God on your own. Don't let nobody dictate to you how to do it. But the minute you find somebody trying to represent God, and then they misrepresent you by abusing you and using you, and castigating your life as a cow or some kind of a wild goat on a mountainside and taking advantage and then picking up the manure and smearing it in your face, you need to kick somebody dead between the pants. That's what you need to do. And you need to take ownership of your life. Now, let me get back to what God said. See, now I know I sound like an angry man. I'm not an angry man. I'm saying don't be no fool. You don't need this foolishness, this church foolishness. Stop it. That's over. That's over. That age is gone. Look. Oh, what is this? It's 34 minutes and 12 seconds into this webcast. Company said, do you ever think America is going to get back to the way she was before this pandemic? The answer is no. The answer is no. We're not going back to the way it was. Man, with these germs and these viruses and these foolish people spreading this stuff around, look at your fellow citizens. I'm going to the beach. I want to go have I want to go have fun. And hospitals are filling up. And now they're telling me what? our grammar children are getting it now. I want my kids to go to school. You better keep them at home and teach them from the closet. That's what you better do. Look here. We are not going to return to normal. Because look at the way the classrooms were looking in the inner cities. 40, 45 students to one teacher. Most of the schools in the inner city had breakfast programs because the parents couldn't afford to feed the children a decent breakfast to keep them going. So you got schools now paying for breakfast and lunch, and in some cases, because the parents are working two jobs, they can't get home, and so they're feeding the kids three times a day. Now, those schools are shut down. Think about what's happening now. Are those babies still eating? Are those babies, have they been given a computer to do their homework on? White privilege, they got their computers. How about the families that can't afford no computers like that? Oh, yeah, I know that the liberal city says that they're going to give out computers to the children to help them study. But you got a president in office that want to stop all that free money like that. They don't need to have nothing. Why? Because you may be helping somebody that's not a citizen. Well, he's a whoremonger. You know, that's one thing that I liked about that Martin Luther King special. I forget what they call that thing, but I watched it yesterday. It was a film that came out on HBO in the year 2018, and about Martin Luther King, and they spoke about what was written about Martin Luther King and his fooling around on his wife. They didn't deny it. And I like the way they put it. We are human and we have propensities to do things that we have to do to keep. Man, I loved it. I loved the way the people put it together. They didn't cover it up, nor did they besmear his name as something dirty and filthy because he was with other women besides his wife. And during the documentary, they said that Claretta was the best choice for Dr. King because his family did suffer immensely for the sacrificial price that he paid, which was his life. And anybody that speaks up for truth is going to sacrificially pay for it. It's interesting because some of you are coming to listen to me on my website since you've gone to that Facebook thing. And you're saying, who is this John Comer? Well, damn it, I am he. See, and when you go to my YouTube pages, and I'm not going to change anything else, I put my little emoji up there to get some of your attention because it's hard to get you to listen to me today and then listen to me 20, 30 years ago. I haven't changed about God. I've always believed in him never leaving me and never forsaking me. So, I speak with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Now, this is interesting because when the clarion calls out, or when that call comes out to your mind and says, I got you. I got you, man. I got you. I got your mama, your babies. I got you. I got you. You're not going to be, I got you. Now, here it is. You don't see where it's coming from because when it's coming from God, you're not supposed to see it ever. You're supposed to, oh, man, I don't want to make it sound like a church thing. You're not supposed to see it. If you could see it, then you wouldn't require faith to believe it. God knows that I'm 76 and that I'm an old man. God knows that I'm going to feel aches and pains in my body. Day before yesterday, I felt like 100%. Yesterday, I felt like 30%. Today, I don't know what I feel. It's too early. I've been in the studio and it's going on high noon. It's 11:56 in the morning. Why did it take me this long to put another webcast up? You know why? Because I have to wait on God. Now, I didn't ask God from the time that I said I was going to put this webcast up to now. Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you stimulating me? Because God knows when and where and why and how he is going to fulfill his will in our lives. You have to think like that. You see, what we try to do, a lot of people try to say, oh, John, you can get more people to come to your Facebook page if you did this and if you did that. No, 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 no. I only want the inquisitive to search me out, because I'm not going to give you a quick fix line to straighten out your life. Number one, if you were the wrong person in your life, that's your fault, because you know why you got with them, whether they are male or female or whatever you are. If you are living in a quarter right now that you're in and you're a day over 24 years old, you know why you live in there, and you have no one to blame but yourself. And you can remove yourself from that presence and find a more comfortable one if you had the guts enough to listen to your heart and do what you are supposed to do. Let's stop blaming others and start blaming ourselves for the situation that we find ourselves in. Let me come down to the end of this verse. My goodness, look at that cough. No, I just saw the thing that it did on my system. A big spike. I got to watch that. It says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. And the last part of the verse says, what can man do to me? And they kind of ask a question. What can man do to me? All right, landlord, I'll tell you. So you ain't got the rent, so you got to get out. I ain't got nothing to get out with, man. All right, yeah, let me just talk you through it. All right, here it is. You got to get out. You ain't got nowhere to take your furniture. Your family's not trying to help you. You ain't got nobody to help you. Everything that you work for. And when it comes time for you to get put out the day, man, let me give you a true story, okay? And then you know what I'm talking about. This really happened in the life of me, John Coleman. I was at this address when this happened. I was co-pastoring the Anselm Bible Fellowship when we were in Inglewood, California, situationally stationed right next to the Inglewood Post Office. I think it was on Hillcrest, yeah. On the main boulevard in Inglewood. And the associate minister that was there with me wanted the church to pay for my and him an anniversary. If you're not familiar with that, an anniversary date is one date would come up where all the members of the church would come together and collect money and give it to us pastors. And I told my associate, I don't do that. They don't have to give me a damn thing. I don't want nothing from them but to come here and listen to God's word. They said, no. And so what he does is he goes downtown to the Inglewood Fathers, the city, and says that I have too many people meeting in that little office thing on a Sunday morning, and they padlocked our building. I had gone and signed, I think it was at least a year's lease, maybe a two-year lease, with my name and my home property to back it up. In other words, if I don't pay this thing, you can put a levy on my house. That's how much I believed in taking care of God's people. And I would never take advantage of them, especially for money, because this other person, I don't know where he is now, I don't care, but he was a money whore. And when I figured that I was running with money whores, I would tell the whoredom in him no. Anyway, I went to my realtor and explained the situation, what had happened. And the realtor said, and he was a white man, And he said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Coleman, I can't do anything about that, what your associate minister did, but you owe me for a year's income. And I don't want to hear about your problems. Thank you. And I said, is that it? And he said, that's it. About a week later, I was here at this house on a Saturday morning. Day looked just like it looked today, and somebody knocked at the door. And it was a white guy, and I said, man, what, who, are you Pastor John Coleman? I said, yes, I am. And he served me. I don't know what it was. He said, you've been served. And he gave me the envelope full of papers in it and everything. And Lucy was standing behind me, and I opened it up, and I was passing the sheets to Lucy, and Lucy started to cry. Because she was saying, oh, my God, now these people are going to take my little house. This is a real story. I'm not lying to you. This is beautiful that God has given me the mind to think about this. And she started to cry. And I said, oh, baby, what you crying for? She said, what do you mean what they're crying for? Do you see what this is saying? Do you see how much money this is? We aren't making that kind of money. I said, what are you doing? See, I had to bring her back to herself. What are you doing? Do you know what you're saying? And she said, oh, there you go, you and that Bible. I took the subpoena to the court, and I got to tell you what I did with it. I'm going to just let them leave a message for me. I took that subpoena and I tore it up right in front of her, tore up all the papers. And I said, if I put my life, my house, and everything on the line for my heavenly Father, tears came in my eyes. Then I said, then we need to be homeless and in the street because he deemed it possible and necessary. And then I told my wife, but I do not believe that God would ever allow anything like that to happen to us. And I told my wife, just take care of your life the way you have been, and behold, the power of the Almighty. Well, needless to say, I never heard from the courts of that man again, because I told him before I left his real estate office, I said, I am a godly man. My cause has been godly. Every month we paid rent on time. Matter of fact, we cleaned up the building when we got there because it wasn't sufficient. We didn't complain. I just said, make sure that you were doing what is right in God's eyes. And I left his office, didn't curse him out, didn't wish him no bad. I don't know what happened to that man. But I know one thing, after I was served with that to go to court, I tore it up, I never answered it, I never heard from him and those people, and here it is, 2020. Now, I don't know what happened, why don't you tell me what happened? See, since I believe in a God that hears me, y'all better listen to me. This is why I didn't do this webcast 3 days ago. I believe that since I believe in a God that hears me, he also hears you. What are you saying to him? And I'm still in the very same house that I'm in, and I haven't paid a house note in years. That's right, and it ain't paid for yet. And I'm still here. They'll probably put me out when I've been here more than the reverse mortgage years will let me be here, but I have to wait and see what happens there. That's why I believe this verse. Do you believe it, my friend? You're living during a pandemic. Your issues are going to be far different from mine. But that illustration that I just gave you was an illustration of life, and it truly, truly happen. I am not kidding you at all. And God will bring you through just like he brought Lucy and I through years ago in the same location. And guess what I did with the various rooms and spaces in this house? I allowed young black men, some right off the streets, nowhere to live, to come and shelter in. And guess what I was just trying to do? One thing I was trying to do that the church, the so-called church, never would do. Introduce them to the God that hears them and knows them and loves them and appreciates them. I didn't care. Man, look at here. I didn't care whether they were house thieves, robbers, dope addicts, or dope sell. I didn't care. Those are the people that I live in the midst of. And they had an obligation to hear from God. Do you hear from him? What is that one thing that God has called you to do? And are you determined to do it for the praise of his glory? Or are you setting out to get your ass rich and so that you can throw money up in the air or at the buttocks of a big woman or a big man and say, look at what God has given me? That's abomination when you say that you are in love with Jehovah. So, that's how God speaks to me, and I have to be open and free and allow him to speak those possibilities in my life. I do not need a church or a pastor. I do not need a reform set of view. I don't need to call myself a charismatic. I don't have to speak in tongues. Please don't speak in tongues because you annoy the mind of God. Do is I ended up here because I've been going at such a rate and talking at such a rate, and I don't want to bore you. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for being patient. I want you to think about what I just said, because if it made any sense to you, then your life has full purpose and everything, absolutely everything that God has called you to do. Believe in God with your whole heart, soul, mind, your spirit. And remember, if you're my white brother and sister, you can have that same relationship with God. But you have to stop looking at him as a racial iconic figure for you to believe in. Like I tell my black brothers, it's obvious that we know who Jesus is and was, whether you believe him alive or not. I believe that his words live forever in my heart, and that is why I know that he has never left me nor forsake me. And as long as I live and trouble rise, I'm going to tell me some truth. God bless you, and thank you for coming to my website.